I don't know. I don't think there is anything new under the sun. I really don't. And if that makes me a Debbie Downer, then fine. But I just don't, guys. In fact, there are times when things happen and as they're happening and everyone's like, ooh, it's a new thing. I'm like, ooh, I bet it's not. I bet I can pull a history book off of my bookshelf right now and show you how it's not and show you that we've done this before. We've done it before. We're doing it again. How many times are we going to have to do it? Case in point on mis and disinformation and fake news. Fake news is not a new concept that anybody came up with suddenly back during the 2016 election. All of a sudden, it seemed like that's what everyone was talking about back at that time. This is not the first time that this type of censorship with this exact type of reasoning has been played on everyone. One of the reasons that we have the Bill of Rights, and one of the reasons the First Amendment is on there and it's first, is because this exact type of game was played on people before, in the lead up to the American Revolution. Case in point, proclamation by King Charles II from 1674, a proclamation to restrain the spreading of false news and licentious talking of matters of state and government. And it doesn't take that long to read, so I'm just going to read it to you. But tell me if this sounds at all familiar. And I might screw up a couple of these old-timey words, so just bear with me. Whereas of late many persons ill-affected to the government have assumed to themselves a liberty in their ordinary discourses to censure and defame the proceedings of state, whereby they endeavor to create and nourish the minds of His Majesty's good subjects an evil opinion of things they understand not, and further to promote their seditious ends, they do daily invent false news and spread the same abroad among the people, to the great scandal of His Majesty's government. Whereof His Majesty taking notice, and in particular of that very false report of an intention to dissolve this present Parliament, which hath not been under deliberation, His Majesty seeing no cause to change his resolutions touching their meeting. What? It's awkward. His Majesty therefore looks upon the spreaders of that report as persons seditiously inclined and ill-affected to his service. And considering that by the laws of this realm, great and heavy penalties are to be inflicted upon all such as shall be found to be spreaders of false news or promoters of any malicious calumnies against the state by their ordinary and common discourses to stir up dislike in the people of His Majesty's person and the established government, whereof His Majesty is sensible, the persons offending are not ignorant. So that's a way to write all of that. Nevertheless, that all men may be left without excuse who shall not hereafter contain themselves within that modest and dutiful regard which they ought, His Majesty hath thought fit by the advice of his council to publish this his royal proclamation, and doth hereby forewarn and straitly command all his loving subjects of what state or condition soever they be, from the highest to the lowest, that they presume not henceforth by any writing or speaking to utter or publish any false news or reports, or to intermeddle with the affairs of state or government, or with the persons of any of His Majesty's counselors or ministers in their common and ordinary discourses, and they will answer the contrary at their utmost perils. And whereas all bold and irreverent speeches touching matters of this high nature are punishable not only in the speakers but the hearers also, unless they do speedily reveal the same unto some of His Majesty's Privy Council or some other His Majesty's judges or justices of the peace, His Majesty doth hereby further declare that he will proceed with all severity not only against such persons as shall use any bold or unlawful speeches of this nature, but also against those persons who shall be present where such speeches are used, without revealing the same in due time, His Majesty being resolved to suppress this unlawful and undutiful kind of discourse by a most strict and exemplary punishment of all such offenders as shall hereafter be discovered. I mean, doesn't that just reek of weakness, though? I mean, no one's allowed to criticize you or your government, pretty much, like at all. And if they do, it's at their utmost perils. And they'll be subject to a most strict and exemplary punishment. Which, by the way, I mean, this, we're not just talking prison. They did a lot of nasty stuff to people. They were branding people's faces and cutting people in the face and all kinds of stuff. It was nasty, okay, some of the stuff they did to people back then.
Ew!
But notice it starts by mentioning that people shouldn't talk of Charles II dissolving Parliament, which people obviously were talking about and thought he might do, which he actually did end up doing, just like his father did. But he did it in 1681, and then he went ahead and ruled the entire country alone until his death in 1685. So was that really false news or just a conspiracy theory that hadn't come true yet? And just on an aside, it's nice how this proclamation makes it a point to delineate between the loving subjects, quote, from the highest to the lowest. Must be really nice if you're considered the lowest, isn't it? It's nice. So no bold or irreverent speech, just at all, I guess. And after Aaron showed me this one, I actually found another version of this same thing from Charles II from 2 years earlier. But in this one, it stipulated, quote, "And because all bold and irreverent speeches touching matters of this high nature are punishable, not only in the speakers, but in the hearers also, unless they do speedily reveal the same unto some of His Majesty's Privy Council or some other of His Majesty's judges or justices of the peace, within the space of 24 hours next after such words are spoken." So this one says the same thing as that one, but that one put a 24-hour notice on it. So after you hear, first of all, you can't even hear the bold or irreverent speech. Not in public or in private at all. But if you do happen to be a person who hears the speech, if you don't run and tell on that person to somebody within 24 hours, then you get the most strict and exemplary punishment also, because you heard it and didn't tell. You didn't snitch. So that whole see something, say something thing.
You see something suspicious in the parking lot or in the store, say something immediately.
That's also not new, is it? No, it's not. Or actually, I guess in Britain, it's see it, say it, sort it.
See it, say it, sort it.
But whatever. None of this is new. It's all old. If you heard some false news, quote unquote, which really is just anything criticizing the king or making other people upset about the government at all, sounds like, then you better turn that person in within 24 hours or else you're getting the strict and exemplary punishment. This one also includes coffee houses and public or private meetings too. So basically nowhere. There's nowhere that you can be hearing of this speech ever. That's not a liberty. They made sure to point out that's not a liberty for you to talk about this at all, publicly or privately. In fact, I don't know if he was just putting these out all the time or what, but I found another one for the following year in 1675 that was a proclamation for the suppression of coffee houses because, quote, "diverse false, malicious, and scandalous reports are devised and spread abroad there." So the king declared that coffee houses must be, quote, "put down and suppressed." So at least he's admitting over and over that the whole purpose of this is to suppress speech about him. You cannot talk about him. You just can't. Or his government. Or basically anything that would upset people about him. This, by the way, is a huge part of the reason why people in the lead up to the American Revolution were writing anonymously under pseudonyms. This right here. So it's actually kind of pathetic and sad that you have warmongers like Nikki Haley calling for everyone on social media to be verified with their full name.
Every person on social media should be verified by their name. That's, first of all, it's a national security threat. When you do that, all of a sudden people have to stand by what they say.
And no anonymous accounts, because literally our nation, the one that she's running to be president of, literally wouldn't exist. This nation would not exist without people writing anonymously about their grievances against the king and his tyrannical government.
And then you're going to get some civility when people know their name is next to what they say.
Accountability.
And they know their pastor and their family member is going
to
see it.
Which they had to do anonymously because otherwise I guess they'd be subject to the most strict and exemplary punishment, which back at that time was putting you on a boat. So you couldn't even face a jury of your peers. You got put back over the ocean to face a bunch of prejudiced people against you in another continent, which is one of the long train of abuses that was specifically listed in the Declaration of Independence. And this isn't even the last one of these either, because there's an even longer proclamation that was put out later by King James II in October of 1688 that took most of the language from the Charles II proclamations, but then added a bunch more to it that you were literally evil if you, quote, utter or publish any words or things that stir up the people's dislike of our person or the established government. So he stipulated further, if you make people not like the king by saying anything that will stir them up to not like the king, they don't even have to hate the king, although hatred was also mentioned. But if you just say something that makes other people not like him, right, then you're in trouble. And also, quote, men have assumed to themselves a liberty, not only in coffee houses, but in other places and meetings, both public and private, to censure and defame the proceedings of state by speaking evil of things they understand not, which they weren't actually even allowing the people to know what was going on in the government, except what was allowed to be released in the press and what the press was allowed to print. And there were certain people that were licensed to do that, and that was it. So people weren't even allowed to know it. So to say they don't understand it is just kind of a slap in the face, because you're not even letting them know what's going on in the first place. How do you expect them to understand it? But you weren't even allowed to talk in private. So they were trying to control what you talk about privately, not even publicly, in private. So nowhere. You're not allowed to talk about anything that's going on politically at all, anywhere, basically at all. Unless what you have to say is glowing, flowing, wonderful things about how awesome everything is. And we know this went over very well for King James II, because the following month he was deposed in the Glorious Revolution, which led to the 1689 British Bill of Rights that our American Bill of Rights 100 years later would be based off of. So you're just not allowed to say anything about the king, the court, the king's government, which is appointed by the king. Nothing. You're not allowed to say anything. Now, they called it false news. They didn't call it fake news, but it's the same freaking thing. And this isn't even the first time they did this either, because they did it again back in 1275, if you could believe that. In the Statutes of Westminster, they had one for chapter 34. There were 51 chapters in the Statutes of Westminster, and this one is number 34. None shall report slanderous news whereby discord may arise. And this one says, for as much as there have been oftentimes found in the country devisers of tales, whereby discord or occasion of discord hath many times arisen between the king and his people, or great men of this realm, for the damage that hath and may thereof ensue, it is commanded that from henceforth none be so hardy to tell or publish any false news or tales whereby discord or occasion of discord or slander may grow between the king and his people, or the great men of the realm, and he that doth so shall be taken and kept in prison until he hath brought him into the court, which was the first author of the tale. They've done this again and again. The state trying to be the arbiter of truth goes back a very long way, and it's one of the things that our whole country is completely based upon fighting against, okay? Straight up. But this is one of the reasons why we have the First Amendment and why it's first. Because before this, you weren't allowed to say jack about the king at all. You were not allowed to criticize him or have any critical words to say about his government or anything that was going on. So if you had a problem with that, too bad. Because if you say anything, that's false news. You are being licentious. You're slandering people. Public servants. Of course, we call them public servants now. Here in America, we call them that. There was no such thing as a government of the people. This was not the government of the people. This was the government of the king. And there was no such concept before the American Revolution as taxation without representation. Before the Stamp Act, there was no such thing as the idea of taxation without representation. It was all taxation without representation in the terms of what we know. That was a new concept when the colonists started talking about that during the Stamp Act, which was 10 years before the American Revolution started. The colonists brought up taxation without representation. The people over in Britain were like, what are they even talking about? Because that is not a thing. We didn't have that as a thing. Because you just did what you were told, and you better not say anything negative about it. Because if you tried to, then you get slapped with this proclamation about restraining the spreading of false news. But this is the same thing that it's been the whole time, and it has always been the same thing. And that is, when a tyranny is going on, when a corruption is happening in the governments, they don't want people to say anything about it. They don't want people to have the ability to speak on it. They don't want people to lose faith, right? Even if that faith is ill-begotten and not deserved. So they don't want people to be able to say things that are going to make other people mad about what is going on. I mean, that's basically it. That's the whole summation. They just don't. So this happened, and it continued to go on. And I don't even think today the UK still, I mean, they don't have free speech there. Canada still doesn't have free speech. America is probably the only place on earth that actually has free speech in the way that we have it lined out. And yes, I know they've been chipping away at the Bill of Rights and using the Constitution as toilet paper for a while now, but we have got to try to preserve these things because otherwise we're going back to some pretty freaking tyrannical times. You think things are bad now? Let's take it back to 1674. That was a tyrannical absolute monarch. He was doing crazy stuff, okay? That's a whole history lesson I could give you about Charles II when they tried to bring the monarchy back after Cromwell. It was a ridiculous, it was ridiculous, okay? The dude was dissolving parliament, fighting wars that were not beneficial for any reason whatsoever, and just wasting money on it, signing secret treaties with the King of France. The Clarendon Codes were passed under this guy, if you haven't heard about those. It made it so that all municipal officials had to take Anglican communion, excluded all nonconformists from public office. They also made the Book of Common Prayer compulsory in religious service. And if the clergy refused to comply with that, those people were forced to resign their living. It forbade any meetings of unauthorized worship of more than five people who were not members of the same household. So dissenting religious groups were forbade from meeting each other. They also had something called the 5 Mile Act, where nonconformist ministers were forbidden from coming within 5 miles of incorporated towns. They were also forbidden from teaching in schools. And that wasn't even rescinded until 1812. So that's another thing that our First Amendment has. It has a freedom of religion. We in this country have the separation of church and state. The crown is the church over there. And back in the day, they were forcing people to worship the way they wanted them to, which was all based around praying for the king and basically taxing people without representation of their spiritual energy the same way they tax people without representation financially. That's basically what it was. Having all kinds of illegitimate kids, which, I mean, whatever, that's his business, but he was trying to get them special titles and stuff and having everybody pay for it. And I mean, just all kinds of stuff he was doing that was just kind of, he wasn't like the lovable rogue one. I know people try to say that, but when you actually read about it, he sucked. He was a suck king. Like, maybe he didn't suck as bad as his dad did, but we all know what happened to that guy, okay? Just saying, all right? His kid was not that much better. Go read a history book. You're going to know about that. Sorry. I love my people over in England. I love you guys. I do. And I think you have a really cool, magical little country. But that guy was a douche. He sucked. And you would not want to live under him today. He had that crazy ass, you know, 80s rock hair. You would not want to be a subject in his realm. You would think it sucks. Okay. If you had to go back in time and live there, you would hate it. So anyway, it's not just that they're trying to control political discourse. They're literally trying to control the status quo of whatever system is in place. Nothing can change if people aren't allowed to talk about it, if people aren't allowed to report on it, if people aren't allowed to share information about it. How can anything change under this kind of proclamation, under this kind of system? And it's all the same stuff. They're just doing it again today. It's just now we got more technology so they can more efficiently silence people online. But it's the same exact thing. It's not even a new idea. These people aren't even creative. This isn't even creativity we're talking about. This is just recycling of old ideas from old tyrannical governments. Now they're going to recycle that in the new tyrannical government. Because the National Science Foundation under the Biden administration has given $5 million to this thing that has come up with this program called Course Correct. And I mean, could you think of a more Orwellian name? I don't think that I really could. I mean, maybe if I tried. But I think they did a really good job there on their own. But if you listen to what they're saying here, I'm just going to play a really quick clip here.
Without a common set of facts to move from, it's very difficult for us to solve the biggest problems that we have as a society. Course Correct is trying to nudge us into the direction of understanding and agreeing upon the verifiable truth for the foundational issues that we need to sort through as a society in order to solve the big problems that are currently vexing us.
We are building the core machine learning, data science, and artificial intelligence technology to identify misinformation using linguistic, network science, and temporal behavior so that we can very accurately identify what's misinformation, where misinformation is spreading, who is consuming the misinformation, and what the reach of the misinformation.
The misinformation is coming from a certain part of the country, or you know, it is people with a certain perspective or political view who are sharing a certain misinformation. You want to be able to tailor the correction based on that.
So we need to have, air quotes, a common set of facts, and they're going to nudge people into agreement on that. Every time governments get tyrannical, every time they get super corrupt, they try to shut down people's ability to speak about it, because that is one of the only ways they can keep the tyranny going. Because if too many people get too upset about it, it can't remain that way. It has to change. Something has to happen. I'm not even exaggerating. I am being 100% literal with you guys when I say censorship is mind control. It is the control of your perception of reality to decide what you can and cannot talk about. That is what that is. To say we're going to have a nudge everyone into a common fact basis or whatever, that's, you could put that right into a George Orwell novel and it would be right at home in there. In fact, that whole video would be. It's really, really creepy that these people don't seem to realize that they sound like they just woke up, got dressed, and walked out of a dystopic novel. Why would anybody want to be someone who does this to people? I don't understand that. How misguided do you have to be to not realize how bad, it is what you're trying to do to people's consciousness? And it's all for control. It's all for the control of the perceptions of reality. And it always has been, historically speaking, it has always been this way. And I guess this is just a fight we're going to continue to have to keep having. And we're still fighting for it. It's not over yet. None of this is over yet. Doesn't matter how many algorithms they have. Use all these algorithms and machine learning and AI and all this stuff, but it's still the same tyranny that it always was. It's just dressed up in new tech. So we have to keep fighting for the First Amendment. You don't even have the other amendments if you don't have the first one. It's not even possible. The whole thing breaks down. And it's time that everyone starts remembering why this is so important. We're like the last bastion of this stuff, guys. And if we don't fight for it, we're going backwards. I mean, that's what this is. You could take this proclamation I just read to you and basically slap it down over any of these people talking about mis and disinformation. And they want everybody to have one way of looking at everything. You know, it's not like they're saying, hey, we need you all to agree. Is this air you're breathing right now? I want everyone to agree it's air. Because we can't exist in society until we all agree what color the sky is. I mean, it's not like that. It's something much more insidious and sinister. And I'm just saying we have had to fight for these things tooth and nail for hundreds of years. Look at this. I mean, this goes back to 1275. And we are devolving as a people if we let something like the Bill of Rights go. It's just nothing new under the sun. I don't know how many more times we're going to have to loop this for people to realize how absolutely important this is. Yeah. I love you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
The moral to be drawn from this dangerous nightmare situation is a simple one. Don't let it happen. It depends on you.
I would like to solve the puzzle.